Begin the current daf, Masechta Shavuos, daf Memches. Begin 7 lines down by the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which we spoke about, the topic of this parak called Neshboin, that generally, biblically, when someone takes an oath, he swears to exempt himself, but there are rabbinic situations where we allow, or we mandate, that the one who is collecting takes the oath. One of them cases was a chenvin, the storekeeper, where he swears and he collects. So then the Mishnah segued into different halachas between chenvin, the storekeeper, and a consumer, regarding who do we believe, who do we require to take an oath or not. So one of the cases the Mishnah was amal chenvin. If someone says to a storekeeper, tenli bedinner peris, hey, I'm giving you a dinner, a certain amount of money, and give me produce for that, chulu, etc., where he gave him the produce, and now the storekeeper is saying to the consumer, says, okay, give me the money. And the guy's saying, I already gave you the money. What's the halacha? So the machlekes in the Mishnah, do we require that the balabayis swears to exempt himself from paying? Or do we actually say it doesn't even require an oath, like Rabbi Yehuda said, because if he has the payers, it's obviously that he paid for it, because no storekeeper is giving produce before he gets paid. Now, Tanulat Nebraisa that elaborates on Amr Behuda, Behuda's opinion of the Mishnah, where he says, Emasai, this is the point that he disagrees with the Tanakama. He says, when do we say, like the Tanakama, that the Baal Bais has to take an oath? That's only Bezmancha Peret Siburin Umanachin. That's if, let's say, the produce would be piled up and placed in a spot, Beshnein Oirin Alein, and they're both disputing over that. That's where I would agree to Tanakama that, okay, he swears then in that situation not to have to pay. But if let's say he has already the produce thrown over his back, he's holding it in his sack, then like Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, not like the Tanakama who still over there requires the Baal Bais to take a Shavua, there he says, he already has the produce. Now the storekeeper wants to remove money from him to collect and say that you still owe me the money, he has to bring the proof, and the Baal Bais does not have to take an oath. Now the Mishnah continued with a similar type of a case, the same case, just a different setting, where a guy says to a money changer, Tenli chulu, give me small change, and I'll give you a big bill. And he gives him the small change. Now the money changer says, okay, give me the big bill. And he says, I already gave it to you. So again, there is the same machlekes in the Mishnah regarding if, does he have to swear to exempt himself, or does he not even have to swear? Says the Gemara, Utsricha, and the Mishnah had to tell us the machlekes reviewed in the Chachamim in both these cases. Why? Because Iyash min ha-kamayis, had we only had the first case, which you just mentioned before, regarding the storekeeper, the chenbani. So, bahach ka'am rabbanan, I would say that only over there do the rabbanan say that we require the consumer to swear. Why? Because there is reason for us to believe, even though generally a storekeeper would not give produce until he gets paid, but by produce, produce tends to rot, it gets ruined, there's a limited shelf time that it has. Now, v'kivin de mirkavi, since it's going to rot, loy mashilei, we could say that the storekeeper would not delay, he would actually quickly get the produce from his shelves into the sack of the consumer, so that he doesn't back out, because he's already had it, already took the produce. And therefore, it makes sense to claim that he's saying, I gave you the produce, now give me the money. And maybe over there, that's why they mandated the Baal Bais, the consumer, to take an oath. But regarding the case of money changing, when we're talking about money dealer Mirkevi, it doesn't rot. Eim might little Rabbi Huda would say, maybe over there they agree to Rabbi Huda that he doesn't have to take a shua. What, you're giving me the small change before you gave me the bill? No professional, no business does that. And must be that I for sure gave it to you, and therefore he doesn't have to take an oath. That's why they have to say that even over there, they say that no, it's a possibility that he gave it, and therefore the consumer would have to take an oath. So to in the reverse, Biyat Mebaha, and had we only had this, the case of the Shulchani, Baha Kama Rabbi Huda, maybe over there Rabbi Huda says that he doesn't have to take an oath, because, what do you mean? You wouldn't give me money, money doesn't rot. Obviously I already gave you the bigger bill. Bahach Eimimayil Rabban, but in case of the Chemini, would say maybe he agrees to Rabbanan, that could be he wanted to get the payers out, and then he expected to get paid afterwards, and maybe that's why I have to take a Shavuot. Tzricha, that's why I have to say that even over there Rabbi Huda disagrees and says that the Balabais does not have to take a Shavuot. Now the Mishnah continued and said that there are certain cases, not as a leniency, but actually as a stringency, and the one who's coming to collect has to take an oath. Kashem sha'amru, just like they said, apagemis ksubasa, that if a woman has a flaw on her ksuba, chula, etc., says all these different cases. And v'chena yisayimim le'yifrus, also then the Mishnah said the same thing is regarding orphans, they also cannot collect unless they take an oath when they're bringing the document from their father. Which the Gemara asks, miman. Who are they collecting from that you're mandating that the orphans with a regular document has to take an oath? If he's saying from their father's borrower, How could that make sense? Avu and Shalka Baleishvu, their father, if he would have the document, he would collect without an oath. V'inu b'shvua, now the orphans, why they worse off, they require an oath? So that says the Gemara Hachakam, and this is what the Mishnah is saying. V'chen ha'yisaymim min ha'yisaymim. When the orphans of the lender are collecting from the orphans of the borrower, lo yifrei l'bishvua, then they could only collect with an oath. Now, on that halacha, qualifies Rav Shmuel Damar Tavai, they both say, lo yishan, and we didn't learn that, but at least if they do make an oath, then the orphans of the lender could collect from the orphans of the borrowers. That was Ella, that was only said, Shemes Malva Bechai Eleva. That we know both of them are obviously orphans. They both, the lender died and the borrower died. But Rav Shmuel qualified this, that we let the lender's sons collect at least with an oath, is only if the lender died when the borrower is still alive. But say Rav and Shmuel, but if the borrower died before the lender died, so then the lender is already obligated to the borrower's sons an oath that he has to swear to them that he didn't get the money from their father, because whoever collects from orphans, even with a document, requires an oath. Now, since the lender, the father, already had the obligation of the oath, and then he dies, and a person cannot bequeath money which has an obligation of shvua, of an oath on it, lebanav, to his sons. Why? Because his sons cannot make that oath which their father was obligated in, because they can't swear that we weren't paid up yet, because they don't know exactly all their father's finances. And because of that, say Rav Shmuel, in that case, the orphans actually would not be able to collect even with an oath, because they can't make the oath that their father was obligated. However, Shalchul Kamed Rebbe Lazar, they asked the same question in front of Rebbe Lazar, and they said, Shvuzu Mativa, what's the situation with this oath to remove the ability of the lender's orphans from collecting, the way Rav and Shmuel said it, if, let's say, they cannot take that literal oath, which, as Rav and Shmuel said, that the father's obligated in, and therefore they can't, so therefore they can't collect? To which Shalach Lehu, he said to them, no. Yershin Nishbayin Shvuz Yershin. The orphans take the oaths of orphans. As we said in the Mishnah, for example, if, let's say, they say, we swear our father did not tell us that this is owed, that this is was already paid up. Certain types of oaths. Once they take that oath, which they swear they don't know at least, that their father was paid up already, and then they could go out and collect, which he obviously disagrees with Rav and Shmuel, who say that if you can't make that same exact oath that the father had, that cannot be bequeathed then to the children. He says, no. The father's owed money, he has a document, and in regards to the oath, they take the oath that they could make, which is called Shavuos HaYershin, that they just don't know at least that it was paid up. They asked the same question in the days of Rabami. Amar, he said, they continue asking the same question. If I'm going to find a reasoning, don't they think I would already send them and give them a response? This is a difficult question. But Rabami said, once the question has come to our hands, let's say something halachically related to the question. And he gave the following differentiation. Amad bedin, if the father already came with a document against the orphans of the borrower, and they came to a court case, and the court said to him, okay, look, you have a document, but anytime you want to collect from orphans, you have to swear and then take, and then umeis, and then the father died. Then says Rabban Mikra, Neschayiv Mavala B'nei Lei V'Shvua. Now already the lender was already obligated to the sons of the borrower an oath. In that situation, Ve'ein Odom Mo Yishvu L'Banav. He cannot bequeath money that has an obligation of an oath to his sons who cannot take that oath. But Rabami made this following differentiation. He says, but let's say the borrower died first, but the lender didn't get a chance to even come to court to try to collect from the borrower's orphans. Umeis, and he died already. Then he says, then the orphans of the lender could swear the oath of the orphans and go ahead and collect from this. So he's somewhere between Rabbi Lazar and Rav Shmuel, depending if the father was Amad Bedin or not. Rav Nachman asked on this, and he says, "Atu beidina k'machayv leishvu." What do you think? It's the court when you're Amad Bedin that makes the obligation of the lender when he's trying to collect from the orphans of the borrower? Me'idna d'shachav leiv. From the moment the borrower dies, ichayv leimavel abnei leiv shvua. At that point already, there's the obligation of the oath on the lender if he would want to collect from the borrower's sons. So Elam Rav Nachman, rather, he disagrees with Rabami's differentiation. He says there's no third opinion. Rather, Iisa l'Rav Shmuel, if you hold of Rav Shmuel's halacha that a person cannot be Meirish Shvu l'banav, then the halacha would be whether if the father was Amad Bedin or whether he was not Amad Bedin. And that is, the children would not be able to collect. And the less, and if you don't hold like Rav Shmuel, rather hold like Rav Elazar, then you don't hold of it. And then in all situations, the children could take a Shavuos Yershin and collect from the orphans of the bar. Now, one thing, however, the Gemara asked on the wording that Rav Nachman just said, says, Amma Mesafkali. So it sounds like that Rav Nachman wasn't sure. I mean, he disagrees with Rabami to differentiate, but as if he wasn't sure if the halacha is like Rav Shmuel or not. And that is the Gemara, but V'amar Rav Yisrael Ben Yumi, that Ovid Rav Nachman Uvda, Rav Nachman went and actually paskin halacha regarding a case when both parties, the plaintiff and the defendant, are both suspect regarding oaths, which is essentially very similar to the situation like we're taking over here, where the idea behind when they're both chashodin is they both cannot take the oath. Here also, they both cannot take the oath. The lender's sons cannot take the oath because they don't know exactly this what the father knows to swear that he wasn't paid up. Neither do the borrower's sons know to take an oath. So that's the machlokes we had in our Mishnah of Rav Meir and Rav Yisi. And what did Rav Nachman paskin? He paskin yachloiku. That, okay, so the money gets divided. Obviously, that it does not hold at all like Rav Shmuel, who says that it does not get divided, and rather that in that type of situation that the orphans cannot collect anything at all. So how can he say like as if you hold like Rav Shmuel or not, when he obviously does not hold like them at all? Says the Gemara, no, le devar of Rav Meir kama. Rav Nachman, what he was saying over here was that we know Rav Meir holds in our Mishnah Chazda Shvul Mekayma, that the oath goes back to its place, and that we had a machlokes, as we mentioned in the previous daf, how do we interpret that? Either like Rav Shmuel or like Rav Abba, doesn't mean it goes back to what it was at Har Sinai, or doesn't mean it goes back to the original one who has to swear, which is the plaintiff, and since he can't, to the defendant, since he can't swear that he has to pay up. It was regarding that he said, look, if you hold like Rav Shmuel, fine. If you don't hold like Rav Shmuel, then fine. But either way, you can't differentiate between the Amad Bedin or not Amad Bedin. But Valele, severely. But Rav Nachman himself didn't pass it at all like Rav Meir. The whole discussion of Rav Shmuel and Rav Abba and over here Rav Shmuel and Rav Elazar was only in the opinion of Rav Meir that says Chazar Shvul Mekayma. So he said, what does Chazar Shvul Mekayma mean? And what does it mean if, let's say, the Leiva dies B'chayi Malva? That was all discussion, but he's going in. He doesn't paskin like that at Tanoik, he paskin like Rabbi Yisi, which is Yechleik in all situations, and that's why he paskin like that. This that he's saying, Yisla Rabbi Shmuel, Yisa, Yilasa Lasa, is going, if you're like Rabbi Meir, which old Rabbi Shmuel is going like, then it's going to be either or, but don't differentiate between those opinions and say it depends on Amad Bedin or not. Now the Gemara continues, Masa Rav Yishia. The Gemara now asks Rav Yishia on the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel from a Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas. Again, Rav Shmuel's opinion was that if the father had an obligation of an oath, and then he dies, he can't be Meirish Shavu Labanov. And that the Gemara asks from Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas. Mesa, if a woman that was a widow who didn't collect her ksuba yet from her husband, and she died, so the Mishnah says, Yerushal Maskirin, her inheritors can mention and claim and collect as ksubasa, her ksuba, at Esim Chamish Shanim until 25 years from when her husband had passed away. But if after 25 years passed and it wasn't claimed yet, then they lose the ability to collect that dowry from the late husband's estate. Because that's what the Mishnah teaches, Mesech Subestav, Kavdal Manalv, as long as she was in her father's household, meaning when she got widowed, she went back to her father's house, and she didn't get Mezainis, sustenance from the orphans, she could collect her ksuba until 25 years, and if she didn't, then it's considered a mechila, as if it was forgiven. Now, one thing, however, is, but that the Mishnah tells us, is that the Yarshin, and her inheritors, could collect her ksuba. Now, obviously, that they're going to collect only with a shvuas Yarshin from the assignment, where, even though we're talking about a case where, quote-unquote, meis leiva b'chaye malva, because it's basically the one who's been collected from, dies in when the collector is still alive, because here he died, who's when they're collecting from the husband's estate, when the woman was still alive, because we say that she was widowed. And therefore, she already had the obligation, if she would ever want to collect the ksuba from a late husband's estate, to take an oath, because anytime you want to collect from orphans, you have to take an oath. And still, we say when she dies, her inheritors could collect from his inheritors with an oath. Obviously, because you could bequeath money that has an obligation, I'm an oath, to inheritors to collect with that, which is not like Rav Shmuel. Says the Gemara, no, Hachamai Iskina, what are we talking about over here in this Mishnah? Is Shenishba Umesa. She swore and then she died. Which means that the woman came to collect the ksuba. She took that obligation of the oath, and that was already taken care of. But then she died. And then we're saying that the inheritors could collect up to a period of 25 years. That's the chiddush, or else they're considered meichel, but there's no obligation. It's not mamon that has a chiyuv of shvuah to have that problem of not being able to be merchant. But yes, if she hadn't made the shvuah, then Rav and Shmuel would tell you that they would not be able to collect in any way. Continues the Gemara with a similar type of a question. Tashma, another Mishnah says ksubis, that says, Nasa Rishonu Umesav. A man married his first wife, and she died. Nasa Shnia Umesu, then they married his second wife, and then he died. So, says the Mishnah, essentially you have the first woman's inheritors who want to collect what's called Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Then you have the second wife's inheritors who, just because she's an Almana, want to collect her regular Ksuba. So, says the Mishnah, Shnia V'Yersheha, so the second wife and her inheritors, Kaidin L'Yersha Rishayna, they come first before the first woman's inheritors. Now, one thing is that we see is that the Yershi Rishayna, the rest of the Yershin, they're essentially the orphans of the Leiva, of the husband who is the debtor. And the Yershin of the second wife, they're the plaintiff. You see that the Yershi Hashnia, which is the Yasmei Malva in a sense, could be collecting from the Yershi HaRishayna with an oath. But how was it that the wife, and the reason why is because she already had the obligation because the husband died before she died. So that's already an obligation of collecting with a shvua from the simon. And yet we see that your sheha could collect. So you see that you could be mayrish shvua labanav. So here it's also talking about where she already swore and then she died. So therefore there's no obligation of the oath anymore because she took care of it. That's how the yersha could collect. But you're right, if she didn't, then Rav and Shmuel say that they wouldn't be able to collect. Tashma, the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof from another Mishnah Masechet Ksubas, where there the beginning of the Mishnah there in Perek Akesav Ksubas Daf Pevav and Beis is talking about where if the husband writes to his wife that Neder Shvua Ein Li Alayich Val Yershayich, no oath or vow are you going to be obligated to take to me or to my inheritors for, let's say, suspicion regarding your dealings with our household, our stuff in our house, that maybe you misappropriated it. So the halacha is, since he told her that he should not obligate any oaths to him, so she doesn't have to swear, he can't make her swear or her inheritors swear, because that's what he said. Now that's where the Mishnah continues and says, Abel Yershav, but his inheritors, if let's say the father died, and now the woman's coming to collect her ksuba, Meshbiya Naisa B'Yas Yershav. He could make her or her inheritors, if let's say she died, swear, and they're coming to collect her ksuba, because he only said, I'm not going to make you swear. But he didn't say regarding his own inheritors. And so too, Vesabah and Bershus, the same thing is, let's say those that are coming from her permission, let's say she sold her ksuba and they're coming to collect, their inheritors can make them swear. Now, one thing is that the Gemara is saying is that we see from the fact that it says, Yershav Meshbeinaisa, the man's inheritors can make her swear, obviously we're talking about that she didn't swear yet, because it's saying that they can make her swear. And yet it says that they could also make her inheritors swear, and then they could collect. So you see that a person can be Mayri Shvua Labaneha, because here she is obligated an oath. And if she dies, her inheritors could go ahead and collect with an oath too. That's not like Rabbi Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Amar of Shemaya Litz Dadin Ketani. Now you have to read this Mishnah as different cases. Meaning this, that the Mishnah said, Yosha Mashbian, that his inheritors could make swear, that was talking about Oysa. That situation would be that even was Ba'almana. That case is even when she's a widow. Where that's where we said that not only by, let's say, a Grusha, but even by a widow, yeah, they can make her swear. But V'yersheha, when it was spoke about the next case, that they can make her swear or her inheritor swear, that case, Rav Shmuel would tell you, is talking about B'gerusha. It's only if he divorced her. Then there's an obligation of a ksuba. And that ksuba she could collect without an oath, because she's not collecting from orphans, she's collecting from him. And he already exempted her from a neder and from a shvua. And she died when he was still alive. Then he died afterwards. That's the case of Meis Malva B'chaya Loiva. When she died, that money was a total obligation without any oath at all. That's why she could bequeath it to her sons. But then when subsequently the husband died, and now the her inheritors want to collect from his inheritors, then they have to take a shvua, like the Mishnah taught us, the yisayim min yisayim le'yifra el b'shvua. But that wasn't money that had a shvua that was being bequeathed. The money that she bequeathed was without a shvua, and that's how they could go ahead and collect with a shvua. Now, the Gemara continues asking, with a Masar of Nosim Harishya, he asked to Rav and Shmuel from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Yafakaycha ben mekaycha av. The power of the son is stronger than the power of the father. Why? Because as we continue to Tamid Beis, Shaben Gaiva, because the son collects with this document from orphans, Bein Mishvua or Bein Shlei Mishvua, at times with an oath, and times with even without an oath. In contrast, Va'av Eina Gaiva El Mishvua, the father could only collect with an oath. Explains the Gemara, say Hechidame, what's the case of this Braisa talking about? Must be, as we'll explain shortly, Demei Sleiva B'chayim Alva, that the borrower died when the lender was still alive. Because that's the case when the father could only collect with an oath. Okatani, and yet still the Bryce is telling us, Sha ben Gaiva bein Bishvua, bein Shalei Bishvua, that the son could collect, sometimes with an oath, and sometimes even without an oath. How so? Bishvua, when we're saying with an oath, is Shavuos Yarshin, which would be in a situation, let's say, when there's no witnesses that the father said at the time that he died that this document was not paid up. If they don't have witnesses that the father said that, so then they could only collect with an oath of inheritors, which is, okay, so they have to at least swear that the father didn't tell them that it was paid up. And sometimes even Shalei Bishvua, even without an oath, meaning when there are witnesses that the father said that at the time that he died, that it wasn't paid up. Like Rav Shem Gamliel in our Mishnah, where he said that if there are witnesses who said that they saw the father say that it wasn't paid up, then they could collect even without an oath. So you see that the Kayecha Ben is even stronger than the Kayecha Av. Now, in contrast, the father, had he been alive, even though he's saying that it wasn't paid up, he wouldn't be believed if he's coming to collect from orphans unless if he took an oath first. So you see that Kayecha Ben is stronger than the Kayecha Av. But one thing we see from this Braisa is that from the fact that it says that the father would only be able to collect with an oath, so obviously what's the case talking about, must be that the borrower died when the lender's still alive, so he's collecting from orphans. And yet still the Braisa says, Haben Gaiva B'Shvua, sometimes with a Shvua, sometimes without a Shvua. Obviously, what do you mean with an oath? The father is already obligated an oath. Obviously, Adam Meirish Shvua Labanav, not like Rav and Shmuel. So Adam Rav Yisav, he says, you're right, but Hamani, who is the town of this Braisa, B'Shamahi. It's actually not difficult in Rav and Shmuel, because it's going like B'Shamahi, which is brought in Masech the Saita, regarding a case where if a woman was a suspected adulteress, the husband has, she doesn't get her ksuba possibly if she was mizana, and the husband takes her to water to drink to see if she was mizana or not. So on that, the Mishnah says, if let's say the husband died before she got a chance to drink the mei saita, the saita waters, the halacha say bishama is she takes her ksuba even though she's not drinking. Why? Because to make her lose her ksuba has to say vehevi isha sishtai, that the husband brings his wife to drink it, and here he's not alive to make her drink it. Now, although potentially she maybe was mezana, that's what we're suspecting her. And if she was mezana, she actually loses her ksuba. Still, Beisha may say she could collect the ksuba in that doubtful situation. Why? Isn't that ain't suffik mitzvah nevadai? Isn't that hamitzvah mechabal avaraya? How could she collect out of doubt? It's because Beisha may holds when someone has assets that are indebted to them, they have the upper hand. And here the Nechassim are actually in the chazaka of the one who's holding the document. Why? Because the Amri Bisham may say, Shtar ha'oimid ligvis kegavadam. When you have a document that's standing to be collected, it's like it was collected already. So therefore she will collect out of the doubt, and we don't consider like as if she's trying to take money from them, which therefore the onus of proof would be on her. Rather, they would be trying to collect from her because the document is like as if she already had it already before, and they have to prove her wrong, which no one knows because she can't drink the waters anymore. So says the Gemara, says Rav Yisav, the same thing would apply in this case when the Leiva dies, B'chayim Alva, although the Rabbanu were Mesakin that he could only collect with a Shavua, but still it's considered Mamun Gomer because he has a document, and Kol Shtaro, I mean Ligvus, is Kigavadam, it's like the father already had it, and of course it's money to go ahead and bequeath to his sons. Now, there is an obligation of an oath that the father would have to take, but it's already his money, and of course his children get it, so these children also have to take an oath, but that doesn't tell us that it's not strong enough for the children who cannot make that same exact oath, get it, and therefore it's not difficult on Rav and Shmuel. Because again, we're going like Bishamai, who Bishamai says stronger than generally. They say it's already the monies. Conscious Rav Shmuel is not going in like the opinion of Bishamai, where it's not their money whoever has a document, and therefore if you can't make the Shavua, the children can't collect, even with the Shavua Sayyoshin. Now, continuing on this halacha, Iklei Rav Nachman Lesura, Rav Nachman Tesura, Ulegabei Rav Chisda v'Rab Rav Huna. Rav Chisda and Rab Rav Huna encountered Rav Nachman. And Amar Levi, they said to him, Leisi Mar, let the master come. Nachkar l'hod Rav Shmuel. Let's uproot this halacha of Rav Shmuel, who says you can't be Meirish Shmuel Abanim. Like we tried asking from all these different Tanoic sources, which were seemingly indicating not like Rav Shmuel. So Amal Hus, Rav Nachman said to them, Ichfali Vasoi Kalhani Parsi, I went through the whole effort to come from my place all the way here, Lame'ekar l'hod Rav Shmuel, to go ahead and uproot the halacha of Rav Shmuel. No, we're not going to uproot their halacha. Elahava deloy loysev Allah. But be careful, prepare yourselves and learn it very well. At least that you shouldn't go ahead and add on to it to compare it to other places too. Meaning, because Rav Shmuel specifically said the halacha in the context of when there is an oath of someone who's coming to collect from the assets of orphans, and that's what Rav Shmuel said, that when their father dies, he cannot be meirish that monies to his children if the bargain had died when the lender was still alive. And that says, Rav Nachman, don't compare that to other obligatory oaths, as the Gemara explains, for example, like what case? The Amar HaPapa, like our Papa says, if someone creates a flaw in his document, in other words, he has a document that says he's owed a certain amount of money, but he admits in court that some of it was already paid back. So, okay, we don't know how much, maybe he really got paid back more. And that the Mishnah teaches, so he can only collect the rest, only if he takes an oath. Now, says the Gemara, if umeis, and then this person dies, yerushin nishbayin shvurus yerushim enoklan, then the orphans do swear, although they can't take the same oath, they take the oath of the orphans, which is that we don't know at least that more was paid up. And in that case, we do not apply the halacha of Rav and Shmuel, who said you cannot be meir shvur labanav. That was only said in the context of when there's a lender trying to collect from the orphans of the borrower, that's when we said that the orphans don't get it. But regarding a pagim ishtari, that we didn't say that would apply. Similarly, the Gemara brings stories to illustrate this halacha, where Reuven lent Shimon through a guarantor with a document. So explains the Gemara, so there was such a story where Ahud Shachiv, the borrower died when the lender was still alive. So therefore, as we said, the lender became obligated in an oath. And then the lender himself died. Veshavik Arva, and there was the guarantor was still alive. So the orphans of the lender were coming to collect from the guarantor. So Savra Papa Lemaimer, Papa thought to say, so Hanami Deloy Loisav Allahu. This is also in the category that we said before, that Rav Nachman said, don't add on, because Rav Shmuel had only said in the context of orphans collecting from orphans. Here the orphans of the lender are not collecting from the orphans of the borrower, because even though the borrower died himself, but there's a guarantor and they collected from the guarantor. So that's not the same exact case. Maybe they could be nishbayin menoit and they could swear and collect. That amalei Rav Huna b'rei d'Rishul. Rav Papa, he says, what? Atu arva lav buster yasmi. Don't you think that the guarantor doesn't go after the orphans of the leva azul? That's where he goes? And essentially, it's like collecting from the orphans of the borrower, because the guarantor is going right back to the borrower's estate. And since it's like Yisayim from Yisayim, therefore the halacha of Rav Shmuel would apply in this situation, which they say that you can't be Moirish such a Shmuel Labanov, and they would not be able to collect in this situation. Similarly, another story, Ahud Shachav. There was a borrower who died when the lender was still alive, and then the lender died without any children. Veshavik Acha, but the lender left over a brother who inherited him. Now his brother is producing the document to collect from the orphans of the borrower. So this is also a situation where it should not be added on, that this is not exactly like the case of Rav Shmuel, because they only said when orphans collect from orphans, and here the brother's not an orphan, so maybe he could collect with an oath from the estate, from the orphans of the borrowers. On that Amalei Rava, Rava said, no, Mali Shaloi Pakadnu Abba, what's the difference regarding that we said that you cannot use a Shvuas Yerushin when, like in the case of Rav Shmuel, where they have to swear that we don't know that our father deposited anything or that it was paid up. What's the difference if he says that I don't know from my brother that he paid it up? In other words, it's the same thing. Yisemi Yisayim is the same thing, where it means the inheritors from the lender cannot collect from the inheritors of the borrower, and therefore, where if he died without any children and his brother wants to collect, would also apply the halacha of Rav Shmuel, that you cannot be meirish such a shvua, not only banav, but also to achiv, and he would not be able to collect with an oath. Now, concludes the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama, he says, Hashtad le'it mehilchasa, loik Rav Shmuel. Now that it wasn't conclusively said that the halacha, neither like Rav and Shmuel, who they said that the orphans cannot swear and collect, but like Rabbi Lazar, not like Rabbi Lazar, who said in Amman Alf, who says that no, that the orphans could swear and collect a Shavuos Yerushin, even though they can't make the exact oath that the father was already obligated in. It wasn't said conclusively one way or the other. So therefore, Haidei on the Da'avid Krav Shmuel Avid, a judge that paskins like Rav Shmuel and says that the inheritors of a lender cannot collect with an oath, what they did is done. And the Avid Krav Elaza Avid, and whoever does like Rav Elaza, who says that they allowed the orphans to swear and collect, that's also done. No, so to based on this, Amar Papa, he says, Haishtar Diyasmi, regarding a document of the orphans, where again, in the case of where the borrower died when the lender was still alive, that their father already had an obligation of an oath, Loi Mikra Karina, we don't tear up that document, but V'lo'agvur Megvin, but neither do we collect with it. Why? As the Gemara explains, Agvur Megvin, we don't collect with it, Dimasvir Lan Krav Shmuel, because maybe we hold like Rav Shmuel, who say that you can't collect with it. But Umikra Lekarina, neither do we tear it up, because the high dayana, the avik rabbelaza of it, like we said, because if a judge does do like rabbelaza, it is done. Who we said before, he says yershin are nishboim menaitlin. So therefore, we can't tear it, but neither do we collect with it. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this: that a hudayana, the avik rabbelaza, a certain judge who passed in like rabbelaza, he allowed the orphans of the lender to collect from the orphans of the borrower with an oath of shvus yershin. Now havitzuvim rabbanu b'masei, there was a Talmudic scholar in his town. Of this judge, and Amalei said to the judge, "I see ne igartim in Marava. I'm going to bring a letter from the West, from Eretz Yisrael, and show you dales echas a krav elaza. Halacha does not follow krav elaza. Rather, like Rabbi Shmuel, and you cannot collect, and you let him collect." Amalei said, "The judge said to him, lechitesi. Okay, when you bring, I'll see what you bring." Also, like Hamid Rav Chama. So this Sovim Rebbeinu came in front of Rav Chama. Amalei said to him, "Hai dayana the avid krav elaza avid the judge that judges like krav elaza. It is done, and that is." He was allowed to paskin what he did to allow the orphans of the lender to collect from the orphans of the bar. Now the Mishnah then continued and said, Ve'elu nishbon, and then there are those who have to swear even without a claim against them. Which the Gemara asks, Atu b'shuftin yaskin, we're talking about fools, why would we require someone to take an oath if no one's making a claim against them? That's what the Gemara in the Hochim, and this is what the Mishnah was saying. Ve'elu nishbon shaloi b'tayin is bari. There are certain individuals that have to swear without a definite claim. Usually you have to have at least a definite claim. But then we have these situations where these categories, which the Mishnah described, that even if there's only a maybe claim against them, where the plaintiff claims that maybe you have something in mind, these individuals have to take an oath even for a tayin neshama. And some of them are Gemara quotes, it's Hashutfin, Barisin, regarding partners and sharecroppers, and it talks about a few different people in the list. Which one of them includes a ben bayis, if a parent passed away and then the children take over the estate, sometimes the oldest son takes over the estate, it's called ben bayis, he also has to take an oath even if there's no definite claim against him. Now, Tana, we learned in the Braisa that ben bayis sha'amr, this case of the household member that we said we require him to take an oath even on a maybe claim, leisha nichnas v'yitza b'raglav, it's not talking about where he just comes in and out by himself just to check on how things are going. We wouldn't require him to take an oath for a tayin neshama. Ela rather talking about a child that machnas le'poilin, he's bringing in the workers, umoitz le'poilin, he's sending out the workers, machnas le'peris, he's bringing in the produce, umoitz le'peris, he's sending out the produce, then he's really heavily involved, then we require him to take a shvua, even on the tayin neshama. Now the Gemara says, umayish nahani, what is the difference regarding these individuals in our Mishnah that we made a coming upon them an oath, even with a tayin neshama? Why does a partner or an aris or a wife or all these different situations have to take a tayin neshama? Says the Gemara, because they all have in common Mishum Demoyu Bohatera, because they rationalize to themselves and permit themselves to misappropriate different items of their assets because they're very busy taking care of things. They say, look how much I'm doing for this. Obviously, I'm allowed to take these things, and because of that, we require them to take an oath even on the Tayin Hashem, because it makes sense that they very likely had misappropriated items that they were part of. Now, Amr Rav Yisa ben Yumi Amr Rav Nachman, he qualifies this halacha of these individuals taking a shvua, even a tayin neshama, but for who she is tayin beinayu shtei kesem. But it has to have at least that the claim against them, even though it was just a doubtful claim, that at least they have to be claiming that maybe you held on to my money of two silver ma'is. And on that, the defendant admits partially, where he says, no, you're saying maybe I have two mois kesef? No, actually, only one mois of kesef. I misappropriated. Where that's at least close to a biblical oath, because although it's a tayin neshama, which you have to usually have a tayin nesbari, but this situation we said that will make them obligated to take an oath even though it's a tayin neshama, but it has to at least have what generally has to have, which the tayin has to be at least shtei kesef. However, the wording that Rabbi Yosef used, as the Gemara, come on, who's that like? That's Kashmul, who says that the claim doesn't have to be anything more than Shtei Kasev, and the denial and admission could be just a pruta. But on that, as the Gemara, Batani, Rabbi Chiya, Lissiyu, L'Rab, but Rabbi Chiya taught a brisa that supports the opinion of Rav, and was brought earlier in Perek Shavuot, the Yondaf Mem Amud Aleph, that says, no, that the denial of the claim has to be at least Shtei Kasev, besides for the pruta of what he's admitting. So it can't be just a claim of Shtei Kesef. It has to be at least a claim of Shtei Kesef and a Pruta so that he can at least deny Shtei Kesef and admit a Pruta. So how are you saying that it's a Taina of just Shtei Kesef? Says the Gemara, you're right. According to Rav, you have to read in the wordings of Rav Yosef, Kefiris Taina, that the denial of the claim has to be at least of Bei Kesef. Kerav, like Rav, where, again, although it's a Taina Shema, and we're requiring this situation, it has to at least have the uniformity of how a shvuah usually looks like, which is at least a kfira of a taina of Beis Kesef. Now the Mishnah continued and said, however, if cholku hashutvim v'arisin, if let's say the partners in the shirkrab is already separated and divided, and at the time that they divided their partnership, no oath was required of them, there was requested of them, then they're not obligated to take an oath. But if at any later point in time that he finds a way to get his partner to have to take an oath, then he could already be megalgal, already devolve upon him the oaths of what was already when they had been partners to make him swear on that too. Now, by the way, the following question. Mahu legalgal, what is the ability of being megalgal, this shvus arisen, the oath on the sharecropper, which they had divided already, let's say, some time ago, which we said you could only make him obligated through gilgal shvua. What is the halacha bidrabanan, through a rabbinic oath? In other words, let's say he finds a way to get his old partner, his old sharecropper, to take a rabbinic oath of, let's say, Shavuos Hesus, when he totally denies a claim. Or of a certain situation that Nishbuah Menaitlin, he's swearing and he's collecting. Which, those are rabbinic oaths. Could he go ahead and use that opportunity of the rabbinic oath to then devolve upon him the oath of the old partnership that he had? So Zigmar Toshamal is being arrived in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Lava Heimenu Erev Shavuos. If someone borrowed money from someone, Erev Shviz, before the Shemitah year, which the Shemitah year cancels all loans. Now, Ulamata Shviz, and after the Shemitah year, after the seventh year, Nasa Leishutav Yaris, he becomes a partner with him or becomes a sharecropper. Says the Braisa, Ein Magalglin, in that situation, he cannot devolve upon him the oath of the loan of Erev Shviz if he denied the loan, because the Shemitah year already canceled the whole loan. Says the Gemara, the inference is, Time of the Love Amen Erev Shviz, sounds like because the loan was taken Erev Shemitah, and the Shemitah year already passed by. Das Yeshvias, of course, so because the seventh year already comes and cancels and wipes out the debt of the loan anyway. Hashar Shnei Shavu Magalgam, but the inference sounds like, but if it was took place in any other years of the Shemitah cycle, then we would be able to be Magalgal the oath of the loan, which even though there was no obligation of an oath because he totally denied the claim, there was no Magdi B'Mikzis. How? Through the oath of the partnership, which is existent now, which is started now after the Shemitah year. Obviously, you see, you're Megalgal b'drabanan. Although this whole Shavuah of Shavuos HaShutvin is rabbinic, we can use that as an opportunity to be Megalgal on the Shavuah d'Oraisa regarding the loan. Now, one thing Rashi just points out is obviously this whole discussion was only like in the days of the Tanoim, where they didn't institute Shavuos Hesus, because that was only instituted later on by the days of Rav Nachman, because either way, with the halach of Shavuos Hesus, anyway there would be an obligation of an oath. But we're talking about before the days of Shavuos Hesus. So the question then would be, could you go ahead and use the opportunity of this Shavuos Shutvin? And you see, it sounds like you could use it as an opportunity, even though it's a Shavuot Rabban, to Megalgal the Shavuot D'Oraisa of the loan from a previous year, even though he was not Moed B'Mikzis, he totally denied the claim. Which, again, now we would require Shavuot Hesus of that, but before the days of Shavuot Hesus, he would get away without anything. Says the Gemara, no, Loi Tema Harshar Shnei Shavu Megalgal. Don't make the deek, the inference you're making, but that if it was other years of the Shemitah cycle, then we would be Megalgal Shavu. No, because even other years that are not Shemitah years, we would not be Megalgal Shavu D'Oraisa through a Shavu Shutvin, which is only rabbinic. So why did we pick the case of the Shemitah year? That was not coming to exclude the other years of the Shemitah cycle. Rather read that the inference was for the opposite case. We were talking about a case of when he borrowed money Erev Shviz and became a partner after Shemitah. And it was coming to infer, oh, that's where you're not Megalgal. But if, let's say, the other way around, let's say Nasli Shutvei Oris Erev Shviz, let's say he became a partner or a sharecropper before the Shemitah. And they already divided the partnership before Shemitah. And then Ulamatza Shvi's love him, and they said they're not partners anymore. After Shemitah, he goes and he borrows money from him. So now he becomes obligated in a biblical oath. For example, let's say he admits to part of the loan, he's Maidu Miktus. That was the dik to say in that situation that Megalklin, that there we would devolve the oath on him. And that's the chiddush, and that would be teaching us, because the Shemitah year does not cancel the oath of the partnership or partnership itself. It only cancels debts related to loans, like the pasuk says in Devarim Tezvav, Shamed Kobal Masha Yodeh. So therefore, that's the inference, but not to infer that, to answer the question that we said before. But the case that you're saying we should be inferring from the Braisa is explicitly mentioned. The Braisa says, Nasle Shodvai Oris Ereshviyas, if he became a partner or a sharecropper before Shemitah, Ulamatza Shviyas, love him, and then after Shemitah, he borrows money from him and he's made him mixes. So he already chayv shvua on the loan, so then Megalgal, and then you could devolve the oath on him regarding the partnership which was dissolved before the Shemitah year. So says the Gemara, you're right. Shema Menos, so obviously it's not the inference. And rather, Megalgal Medrabana must be inferring that, yes, only because the Shemitah year where there's no more loan, but if it was any other year, then we would go ahead and use the opportunity of the Shvuas, HaShemrin, or HaRisen, which is rabbinic, to devolve on him the obligation of the oath of the loan. Shema Menos, obviously because we are Megalgal even through Shvuas Drabana. Amr Avuni explains, as we continue to talk about Memtesim and Aleph, Lakoil. For everything, meaning through any rabbinic oath, like we just mentioned before, Megalgal, we can use it as an opportunity to devolve any oaths on him, even biblical oaths, which he was not obligated, through this opportunity. Chutz misachar, except through the oath of a hired worker, She'ein Megalgal, where we don't use that as an opportunity to devolve on him, through that oath, for him to make other oaths. Because actually, the obligation of a sachar to swear to the employer is not according to the basic law itself. It's only to appease the consciousness of the employer, as the Gemara said early in the Mem Hayim and Av, where really we assume that he was not paid up yet, because the employer is busy. The employee knows, I need my paycheck. So the only reason why I'm taking the oath is that the Baal Bayis shouldn't be concerned as if, wait, this guy's ripping me off. But it's not an intrinsic obligation to say that then we could use it to devolve on him other oaths. Similarly, Rav Chisda Amar, he says, Lakol ein makilin. For every situation when someone's taking an oath, we're not lenient. Rather, we are megalgal other oath, which is essentially the same thing that was just said by Rav Huna. Chutz misachar the mekilin, except for the hard worker, where we are lenient and then we're not megalgal him other oaths. So, asking my benai, what's the difference between those two versions? Sounds like they're saying the same thing. Says the Gemara, ikke benai lif toyachle. The difference is to open up. In other words, if let's say the plaintiff does not claim that oh to be megalgal on him other oaths, does the court open up and they say, let us be Megalgal on him? According to the one that says Megalgalin, the court automatically says, okay, let's make him make all the oaths. According to Rav Chizda's version that says we're not lenient, that's if the plaintiff claims let's be Megalgal, then we're not lenient on the person who's swearing, and rather we make him take all the oaths. But if he doesn't make the claim, then we don't open up for him that claim. That's the difference between Rav Chizda and Rav Huna's version. It concludes the Gemara. The Mishnah said, "Vashviyas mishametas b'chulu." Unrelated to what we were speaking about before, in general, that the Shemitah year cancels not only debts of money, but even debts of oaths regarding money. Says the Gemara, "Menanamila." Where do we know this from? Amar Gidla Marav, because Damakra the pasuk says in the Varm, "V'zed dvar haShemitah," and this is the thing of the Shemitah year. But the word "dvar" also means dibur, which tells us vafila dibur mishametas. It cancels even the obligations of words of an oath regarding the monetary obligations too. Hadnalach Kal Nishbaim, we shall return to the seventh parak of Masechta Shavuos, parak Kal HaNishbaim.